You're listening to Talking Pictures with the multifaceted film historian, lead film festival writer for Influx Magazine, multi-award-winning producer of feature films and shorts, your host, Mr. Paul Booth.
Aloha, I'm Paul Booth, your host. Thank you for joining us today. I'm very excited about today's episode, so please roll with the fact that you're going to hear it in my voice, so if I stumble over some words, just know that it's the passion and joy of cinema. We are celebrating Film Festival Month, so today we're going to be joined by Anna Musso. She's an award-winning filmmaker. Her short films have played Sundance, Chicago International, Santa Barbara International Film Festival. She was qualified for Oscar short film a few years back. We're going to discuss a few of her short films. She also has her new one coming up at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. We're going to be discussing that. My first thing that I want to do before Anna joins us is just give you guys a couple of quick film recommendations of what's out there right now, and a Netflix and library recommendation, so we keep the love of cinema going. If you have a chance, check out The Imitation Game. That has 8 Oscar nominations as we go into awards season, and that puts it in the same class as my next recommendation, On the Waterfront, which also has 8 Oscar nominations. On the Waterfront is a Marlon Brando classic. If you haven't seen it, see it again. Check your local library for a very superb Criterion Collection version. It actually has 3 versions of the film. And then my last recommendation is from Netflix, and I dedicate this recommendation to my friend Larry, who's in the film, and he passed away a few years ago. He's also in Chris Nolan's Batman Begins and Memento, but this recommendation is Insomnia, also with the late Robin Williams and the great Al Pacino. So I recommend you check out Insomnia. If you're fans of Chris Nolan, any of his films, you will like this one. Today's guest is someone who I met on a film set that I worked on, and she's worked on independent films. She's worked on big studio films. She's a really great example of what a filmmaker should be in terms of attitude and just being who you are and respecting others and appreciating the art of film. And it's we are lucky to have her join us today. What I wanted to say also to let you guys know, as we are celebrating Film Festival Month, we will be joined next week by Alexandra Forman, formerly of Turner Classic Movies, and she'll be on to discuss some of the stuff about TCM Festival that comes up this spring, and also Oscar history, because March will be our Oscar History Month, and we will have some Oscar nominees on, and even some Oscar winners, and some people who have worked on Oscar-nominated films and Oscar-winning films. And so it'll be a great time to celebrate the history. And like we say here at Talking Pictures, we examine the movies of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hold on one sec. I'm going to get Anna on. Are you there, Anna?
I sure am. Hi.
Oh, thank you for joining us. I just let everyone know about your film that's coming up, and I did not give them the specifics, but we wanted to thank you for joining us today for Film Festival Month, and it's a really nice pleasure and honor for us to have someone on whose work has played at multiple festivals like Sundance and Chicago and Santa Barbara, and so thank you again for joining us. I want to start off so we can make sure that people know, if you can tell us about your next film that's coming out and when they can see it for the California and LA side people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really, really an honor to talk with you, Paul. Our next film, my next film is called Run Fast. It's a short film, and it's playing at Santa Barbara International Film Festival. It plays on Thursday, January 29th at 4 p.m., and then again on Saturday, January 31st, also at 4 p.m. It's playing at the Santa Barbara Museum of Art. And if interested, one can get tickets on the Santa Barbara International Film Festival website, which is sbiff.org. And I'm really excited about this one. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's fantastic, and that's great because you're going to be, I guess, a festival alumni. You had L Train play there, correct? Was that 2012?
I did. It was 2012, and I'm blushing and honored to say that we actually won Best Short there. So it's really, really special for me to be able to come back to Santa Barbara with this film. So I'm very, very grateful.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's so fantastic. And because I see here, before I always like to wait to read the bio until someone's on the air. Just to let you guys know, I had mentioned some of Anna's background, and you know, she's has her bachelor's in fine arts from film directing from the New York School of Visual Arts. She's extended her education working under her mentor, Alexander Payne. In New York, she was a member of the National Board of Review and a videographer for the Actors Studio. L Train, her first solo directorial work, premiered at Sundance, where it won the Women in Film Award. And before I say anything else, I know you and I have kind of briefly had that conversation when we did an interview before about the whole male, female, just filmmaker thing. So what was it kind of like to have that take that you have as just a filmmaker as a filmmaker, but then you get honored with Women in Film Award?
Well, you know, I was really grateful, of course. I mean, more than anything, I think, oh boy, I'm grateful to have had the experience to be a part of anything that Women in Film does. They're an incredible organization, and they're actually making incredible strides for, I got to say, not just for women in film, but what they do for film is really important, because really essentially what they're doing is helping to create a greater diversity in film, and that helps film, not just
right,
women
yes,
in film,
yes.
It helps film, you know, and so to be a part of that was really spectacular for me. It was an honor for me to be any part of that. It was wonderful. And it was really educational for me as well. You know, I got to be a part of a panel and meet other women that are out there making it happen. And so any day that I get to be a part of that, that's a good day. So I was really,
oh, well,
really grateful.
That's excellent. And I when I was reading this, I did not know that it was an organizational award. I thought that it was like a picking a women in film. So thank you so much for telling us about that, because, of course, this show is about, you know, I want it to be educational as well as entertaining, and it is about expanding the art. And, you know, with that, L Train, of course, we will spend minimal time on that because we're here to talk about Run Fast, but with that being such a simple film that Anna was able to make about this this girl named Sunny, who's a self-regarding teenager fighting her way through an inner-city blizzard in Chicago until she encounters someone who forces her to consider an altruistic, if not absurd, action. Now, what I just briefly wanted to say, because I was going to ask you if there's anywhere you could see L Train, is that this massive blizzard hit Chicago, and Anna was able to film this short film. And I remember when she sent me to the link to this, I thought, did she have an effects company? Did she, you know, where did she get these piles of snow? And it was really interesting because I thought it was this, God, she must have spent $100,000 getting snow. And it ended up being this real blizzard. So what I wanted to ask you about just briefly, Anna, was, what gave you the concept for L Train? Because the way you just used the elements is really what film is about, is, you know, taking what you have and using what you have and not always chasing what you don't have. So I was wondering if there's anything you could tell us about that before we go into Run Fast.
Oh, absolutely. And talk about an educational experience for me, and just an incredible experience. I wrote that film sitting in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii, and I grew up in Chicago, so I grew up with those kind of winters. And I had been in Hawaii working on The Descendants with Alexander Payne, whom I've worked for a long time now. And it's funny because I remember those winters, but it's not the same when you're sitting in Hawaii remembering them. When you go back and you're in the middle of that freezing, freezing cold. Oh, man, shooting in that is just, it's painful. And you know, and I had written the film hoping for snow. Oh, careful what you wish for.
Right.
What you wish for.
Yes.
And never in my wildest dreams had I imagined an actual blizzard. Well, it was the second greatest snowfall in the history of Chicago that hit, and I only had a weekend to shoot the film. I had a camera that was on loan, and I had to return the camera, and of course, you know, no money to shoot the film at all. So I had to either shoot a film or I had nothing. And I had invested, you know, my life savings and everything. So it was all or nothing, that situation. And I woke up in the morning of that blizzard, and I said, you know, either we go shoot a film or we have nothing. So you have that choice, and you can go shoot something. And I said, you know what? This is the greatest opportunity ever. And it's really, you know, there's that beautiful Einstein quote, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. And so I had the structure of a film in my mind, but, you know, I think if you have the ability to let go and take advantage of a great opportunity and let go of that film in your mind and just hold on to the spirit of that film and then go out and kind of be in the present moment and exist in the middle of a challenging opportunity, sometimes, every once in a great while, you get a film that's better than the one you could have imagined. I couldn't have imagined that film, but I had to just sort of trust in the moment and make something out of what I had. And
right.
That's
and
the
just,
film that...
Yeah, almost that, like it makes me think of the way you have a Chicago background, is the way blues and jazz is so big there, and the way artists really know how to just live in the moment. And all the times I've visited Chicago are always just such extremely artistic experiences for me, because it is always just living in the moment. You don't know if you're going to be at a blues club later or eating barbecue or at a concert. And, you know, so it's like that was what I really liked about when you had sent me the film years back, was that I thought, okay, this is cool. This is Chicago, because I love that vibe and that feel and that kind of anything goes. So hearing that this was something you kind of had to just shoot, or you had nothing but a camera and, you know, people standing there, is really interesting. Is this a tool that, and one thing I did want to say was that anything we discuss on this show, for you listeners, the opinions of myself or the opinions of Talking Pictures, if the guest speaks, they're speaking for themselves. They're not speaking for any companies, affiliates, or who they have worked for or with. So I just want to let people know that as we proceed. Anna, you've mentioned Mr. Payne. You've had a great chance to have a front row seat to see some really good people. And when I say people, I cannot stress the word people enough. I don't want to say movie star, or I don't want to say anything that separates these people, other than that they are filmmakers and they love film the way filmmakers like you love film and filmmakers like me. So is there something that you could tell us that, you know, you've had a great front row seat to see people do really great cinematography or directing or acting that, you know, really lent to being able to pull off what you did, being able to act so quickly with the situation you were in?
Yeah, I mean, oh boy, I've learned a lot. I've been really, really lucky, and the more you learn, the less you know. you know, but I've been really fortunate. I had a great extension of my film education, being able to work for Alexander, and I've gotten to observe a lot of people at the top of their game doing what they do well, and I've just been so lucky to have that experience. One thing that I think I've learned from watching Alexander is that there's so many things, but I really respect the way he treats people. I respect the way working on a set with him always feels good. It's everybody works incredibly hard. They're really long days, and it's not easy, but it's also a very positive experience. I'll share one other thing. You know, I was on the set of The Descendants, and it was a particularly challenging day. And I won't quite name names as to who had done what to whom, but I will say this. I remember at one point George Clooney said something that I won't ever forget. He, you know, it's funny because he has sort of a reputation for being a little bit of a prankster and everything. But, you know, I'll say this. I witnessed him in acts of kindness for people that no one will ever know about. Just small, little, random acts of kindness. He was good to people, and he was kind. He was very kind. And I remember one day, on a particularly challenging day, because film sets are hard. They are really, really hard. You know, when it's day 42 and hour 17 or whatever, you know, I mean, you're tired. I mean, it takes its toll on you. And I remember at one point he just looked around at everybody. He said, you know, the one thing that sometimes people don't get is that a film set is a family. You know, you come together as a unit, you become a family. And that's what you are, and you have to treat one another like a family, because you are.
Right, right.
And I never forgot that. And so what I aspire to be as a director is somebody who doesn't forget those things. You know, that's the way I hope to lead. You know, I aspire to it. I don't know if I always succeed, but that's what I aspire to. So I've been lucky enough to work amongst and for people who treat other people with great kindness, and so that's what I aspire to. And guess what? I think it makes better movies
Like we were saying earlier when we spoke, it's what Anna mentioned about being able to create a film in Hawaii is kind of a direct thing for those of you that aren't from Hawaii. That is very much Hawaii is a place that can give you a lot if you are giving to Hawaii. And I know I lived there when the Descendants came, and they were very nice crew. They were good to everyone. There was not this, you know, stay away from me because I'm known and from Hollywood. And so with that, they gave so much to Oahu and Kauai that it's great to hear that something was given back to you guys, because you didn't come to just, as so many filmmakers do, and again, this is only my opinion, so many filmmakers come to the island and they're just about the box office and they just want to see if they can get the gold. And you guys came there with an intention and a purpose and respected the aloha. And when you talk about family, of course, you remember the word ohana from being there. And that was totally, you know, what my experience was in the time that I spent seeing some people from the Descendants, was that you could just talk to, you know, again, they'll remain nameless. You could talk to some filmmakers that were, you know, very known filmmakers, and they would be talking to you like they were your uncle, and you'd kind of just be looking around like, you know, wow, you're so chill. And so I'm really glad that you touched on the people aspect, because you certainly are in a great class of people, and I recognized that the first time I spoke with you as well. You know, that rightfully so, you should still be in with those people. With that, I'm sure I can't wait to see. I'm going to do everything I can to come out to Santa Barbara and check out one of the screenings. We're here today, of course, to discuss Run Fast, which I will just briefly read the log line here, and we'll let the director, who obviously knows more than me, do the talking. That's what I love about some hosts, when they start telling you more about the guests and the guests. The log line here is that, coached by an aging former runner, Kenyon competes in the Los Angeles Marathon, where losing will cost her more than just the race. And so with that, Anna, because, of course, again, this is a film you can see on the 29th or the 31st at 4 p.m. at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. This is Run Fast. And so please, you know, feel free to let it rip here, Anna, and just tell us what you'd like us to know.
Well, I'm so excited for this film. I can't tell you. I'm grateful to have gotten to make this film. You know, and it's a little bit of it's a short film, but it's a longer short film. It's a 20-minute film. It's what can I tell you? I'm really grateful and proud of this film. I'm grateful to have made this film, and I'm extremely proud of the film. I got to work with the great Yatide Badaki, who's an incredible, incredible actor. And I also got to work with the legendary Robert Forster. And that's an experience that I'll never forget. And I'm so very, very fortunate. So the story is, it's about a young Kenyan runner who travels to Los Angeles to compete in her first marathon. And it's about the coach who's brought her here. And he's sort of gambling on her to win. And the film really is about the relationship that develops between them. And if I told you much more, I don't want to tell you more, really.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that. I understand that,
film.
For sure.
And, yeah, but it's a special film, you know, and it's like I said, it's a little bit of a longer film, but I wanted to tell a story that was a little bit more expansive. And we fought hard for some great locations, like the actual Los Angeles Marathon, which I'm very, very proud to share with you in our film, which was quite the adventure. And the film, we also shot in East Los Angeles, and so I was really grateful to be a part of that community and share that in our film. And it's a really special film. We were able to gather together an incredible crew of wonderful people, everybody working, you know, pretty much as a volunteer. And what we put together, I believe, is, dare I say, kind of special. And so I'm just overjoyed. I'm really, really grateful.
No, was I correct? Is this going to be the premiere, or has it screened yet?
This is the premiere, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And is there any other screenings that you're allowed to mention yet? Because we do have listeners in other states, or is that still?
Not just yet. No, we're working on it.
Okay. Make sure and let us know about that, because I'd be more than happy to put that over the air on a future episode for you, so make sure and let us know. We like to have all our guests know that, like Anna said, the filmmaking is a family, so we like our show to be like a family. We want people to be able to let us know what they're doing, how their film did, if it gets a release, or so we can all just kind of stay connected. I see here, and again, just asking as a person, I see here in your production notes you mentioned the great Walter Murch. Did he do any work on your film, or was this something that you were talking about being inspired by him?
No, I wish someday I dream of working with the great Walter Murch.
Okay, yeah, because I saw that, and it's like every film that knows that he's Apocalypse Now, and he's the sound guy, and so again, I didn't want to be personal or anything, but I saw that, and I thought, I have to ask her if she got a chance to work with him, because he's the, for effects people, he's the Stan Winston, he's the, the other great sound guy who we're possibly going to have on in March, Mr. Ron Judkins, who has Oscars for Jurassic Park and Saving Private Ryan, which are two other films that kind of broke ground with, sound barrier. I wanted to say barriers with sound. And so these are kind of guys that really revolutionize stuff. And other, I think that's another kind of thing that you've probably been witness to, Anna, is seeing people do great work in other departments and areas to where the majority of people will say, okay, they've heard of such and such that you work for, or they've heard of Mr. Clooney. But say some of the cinematographers that you've seen work, people will say, who is that? But he's an amazing cinematographer, or a sound designer, or an editor. I believe it's Rolf Kent does a lot of your guys' music, right?
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's like And so for most people would know him as he's the Dexter theme. But so is it, without being personal about the specific names, is there something also that you can provide to kind of be the channel, like you were saying, you want to be a director that makes people feel like a family, to where do you think it's given you a good way to be able to step back and say, I'm going to let my editor edit, so I'm not going to micromanage because I'm around people who know how to not micromanage? Because I think that's a hard thing as a filmmaker when you're starting out, is to not think you need to write and direct and produce and edit and sound edit it, you know?
Yes and no. You bring up editing, and it's funny because I certainly don't want to micromanage, and yet at the same time, I want to be a part of the vision, you know? It's funny that you happen to bring up editing, because I happen to have been able to work with, you know, who I think is the greatest editor in the whole big wide world, and her name is Mindy Elliott. And I met Mindy because Mindy worked alongside Kevin Tent, and Kevin is Alexander's longtime editor. They've been working together for, you know, since the very beginning. And I was fortunate enough to meet Mindy, and I joke to Alexander, I love Mindy more than you love Kevin, which isn't true because Kevin and Alexander love each other so very dearly, but I love Mindy so very, very dearly too. And anyways, working with Mindy was just such an absolute joy, because I couldn't tell you how, I mean, she's so brilliant. In fact, she's so brilliant that I want to sit next to her all day long, because I learn from her, you know.
Right.
I like to be a part of putting the film together from the very beginning. And that's actually a very painful process, because when you start to see your dailies, oh, boy, is it painful. It's excruciating. It makes your eyes want to bleed, at least for me, because, you know, you look at it and you go, how is this ever going to become a film? You know, and one thing, piece of advice Alexander gave me was, make friends with despair. You know, and it's funny, you might laugh at that, but it's true. A director must make friends with despair, because that's what sees you through to the time where it is going to be okay. You have to stay there long enough in the editing room in order to find your way, you know. And so while, of course, I would never want to micromanage where my editor is concerned, and I want to give her enough room to do what she does so very, very well, I want to be a part of that process, because we're a team, you know, and I
the mutual collaboration. And I like what you're saying, because I feel like I had this great blessing to interview a cinematographer who is, an ASC member, and he's shot a lot of very well-known films. And as we were kind of talking about cinematography and collaborating, he had said something interesting to me where he said, you know, we all do the same thing, just we usually have lobster. And it was this really funny comment to me, because he wasn't being condescending, but he was saying, like, you know, we have the same headaches, we have the same, like, this actor doesn't want to do it, and we went, and it was a really enlightening thing, because it was just showing that the process is the same. So I'm mentioning that because when you're talking about your editor, I think that for filmmakers, your favorite filmmaker shouldn't necessarily be, oh, my favorite director is Steven Spielberg. You know, your favorite cinematographer should be your cinematographer, should be the guy who's helping your vision happen. And I've been blessed on the films that I've directed, just one that the people I worked with are who I would say are some of my favorite artists. And I think I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that's such an integral part of it.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, going back for a second to Walter Murch, the reason he's been such an inspiration kind of ties back into this in a way, because for anybody who hasn't read The Believer, if anyone's familiar with The Believer, there is an issue of The Believer. It's March, April 2011. There's a conversation between Walter Murch and David Thompson. And Walter Murch articulates this far more eloquently than I will be able to, but he discusses the greatness of spontaneity in filmmaking. And this goes back, by the way, to, you know, when I woke up and I saw that blizzard and I thought, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to make a film. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't the film I had in my mind. And I had to go make a film anyways, right? Well,
right.
The great thing about spontaneity is that you don't have to accept, and this is his idea, I have to say, you know, I wish I could take credit for this idea, but the great thing about spontaneity in filmmaking is that you don't have to accept the forced compromise of making the film in your head. Because when you try to make the film in your head, you can never actually make that film. It's impossible. That you will never be able to exactly make the film you have in your head. So you have to accept the compromise. How much compromise do you accept? 10%, 4%? You know,
right.
But if you film in the present moment, you collaborate, which is the greatest part of filmmaking, he would say the needle can travel both ways. And you just might get a film that's smarter than the people who made it. And that's, again, I cannot stress enough, his idea, not mine, and I think it's brilliant. And so, anyways, going back to Run Fast for just a moment, I wrote a film that has a marathon in it, and I knew I would have no money to shoot a film that has a marathon. But the reason I was able to do this is because I thought, well, I'm going to find a way. I'll figure it out somehow. I will live in the present moment, and one way or another, I'll find a way. And step by step, it was like a giant 50-foot Rubik's Cube that we had to solve. Okay, I wrote a film that has a marathon in it, and sure enough, I have no money. I'm lucky enough to have the great Robert Forster in my film. I have a great mentor in Alexander Payne. I'm so very fortunate, but I still have no money. Okay, how do I solve the problem of not having a marathon? Well, step by step, I sort of solved it little by little. And I'll tell you this, the other reason it's so important to have such a great editor like I did is that when I first saw my dailies, I wanted to hide under the desk and cry, you know, because I was in such a state of despair. I thought, oh, my goodness, how will this work? But my editor, more than anything, more than all the skills and the talent that she has, and she's overflowing with those things, but more than that, she refused to give up, and she refused to let me give up, you know. And I have a great producer, Adam Wagner, who's been just absolutely amazing, and he's the same way. And I have a great team, and the three of us and a lot of other people that just there's just too many to mention right now, they wouldn't give up, and none of us did. And little by little, you solve these problems. And slowly but surely, if you stay with it, it's funny. I look at our film now and I think I had this great film built in my mind, right? And now I'm so in love with the film that I have, and it's not the film that I had in my mind. Somehow or another, it's, dare I say, I don't know if it's smarter than me. I don't know if it's smarter than the people who made it,
right.
But I'm surely grateful to have learned from the people who made it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. No, it's along with that, are you going to be, for film purposes, are you going to be involved in any Q&As at the festival or any panels or?
Oh, you know, I'm not quite sure yet. I'm still kind of finding out news from the festival. I know that we precede a feature. Oh, and it's pretty great. We precede a feature called Fair Chase, which is the world premiere of that feature. So I know we'll be introducing the film, and I'm still finding out from the festival what sorts of events and things are going to be going on. So I'm not quite sure yet.
I know that's always the fun part, and especially since in the last years I've been covering so many festivals as a journalist, that it's a Q&A is just sometimes it's work, you know.
Yeah, this is my first time ever not being a part of an actual shorts program and instead preceding a feature. So it's pretty exciting, actually. So I don't know what's
going
to come.
Congratulations on that, because that is a unique thing. I definitely, with all the festivals I see and go to, they are always programs. So that
I'm sorry, I should have
really intriguing.
That part before.
Well, I mean, this is, I saw on your IMDb list, so just so I have this correct, this is your second solo directorial effort, but you have four total shorts that you've directed?
Right. I have two other shorts that I co-directed in thesis films. Yes, with Dan Hartney, who formerly was my co-directing partner.
Oh, sorry about that. Does L Train, do you have a, is there anywhere that it's like how some films have short film distribution or they're available on a streaming place? Is there anywhere
you
that people can see L Train?
It's currently, you know what, it's available on our Kickstarter page. So if you go to Kickstarter and you just Google, actually, if you go to Kickstarter and you Google Run, or I mean, I'm sorry, you search for Run Fast, it's available there.
And
you can
see it
for free.
Okay. Yes, please, everyone, you know, support that. And we all, anyone who makes films or has made a film or is continuing to make films, so much of it is exactly what Anna hit on, is the support and is the, you know, knowing when you're good at something and someone else is good at something and how you can mix that. And that's really just all that making film is about. And it's really cool to see that your films are having the success. I, you know, personally met Anna 5 years ago on a film set. And again, this is my personal opinion. I've met numerous assistants who are, all I will say is not always the nicest or the easiest to deal with. And, you know, you can't just approach them, and when you say something to them, their first inclination is to say no. And I remember Anna just listening to me, and I remember me kind of thinking, like, wow, she's still listening, you know. And it was a really, it was a good lesson for me that I've never shared this, and I'm not just saying this because she's on the show, but that it was a good lesson for me of that, we all kind of sometimes in film create our own myths. And I had created this myth that, you know, assistants won't be open and helpful and talk to you. And so that was for my lesson to take from it was to not have prejudgments about who you work with. And so I think one of the great things and lessons that I learned from, you know, working around you guys and the conditions that you've worked in was to not assume and to, you know, like you said, respect others and see it as a family. And so that was something that was really kind of a nice thing. And so it's cool to see, and I'm only saying this today, that today in talking with Anna and having her on the show, that she does not sound any different than the day I met her. So she is not the, I've worked on this film, I've worked on that film, I know so-and-so. And that is such a beautiful thing to have, and that is so what the film world needs, because it's all, like we said, it's all about the movies, and it's all about, you know, pushing the art and extending our visions and supporting other visions. And it's not about bragging who we had lunch with or who's talked to us before. And so I really appreciate that we've been able to have a filmmaker like you on, who's out there in the field doing it and also doing it on a different level, you know, working with great filmmakers. And instead of just keeping that to yourself, you know, sharing it and passing on that aloha and love that you learn. And that's a really important, I think that's all that film is about people and sharing what we all have to share.
Wow, thank you so much.
Oh, no, that's... I mean, and again, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. It's a really cool thing because I'm really looking forward to this film because I really dug L Train. I remember, I'm just letting you guys know, go to this Kickstarter page and check it out because I had seen it before. It had played festivals, and I just remember thinking, wow, this is a really cool film. And at the time, I didn't know that she did it off the cuff, so it gave me a kind of whole new perspective when I found out that that's how it went down. So please, again, go to Kickstarter and search Run Fast and check out L Train. And again, we're going to have Run Fast directed by Anna. And, you know, I sometimes don't know if I'm pronouncing your last name wrong. So how do you pronounce your last name?
Musso,
okay. Yeah. Please come out and support Anna's film, Run Fast, at Santa Barbara International Film Festival. And again, that's going to be played January 29th and 31st at 4 p.m. Stay tuned for if there's going to be any Q&A panels. We'll be updating on Talking Pictures. And again, Anna, we just wanted to thank you for stopping by, and we'll... you know, we wish you the best, and I hope that I can make it out to see the film. And good luck with any of the other process. And with that, if there's anything else you'd like to say or mention, we still have a couple of moments here if you need to.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me and your show. I can't tell you how grateful I am. It's just been a delight talking with you. And I'm just honored to talk with you. I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing for film, and I appreciate so much talking with you. So thank you for having me. Thank you,
Anna.
Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We all appreciate having you on, and I'll definitely be in touch with you soon. And you have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You do the same, Paul. Okay.
All right. Aloha. And we say thank you to Anna. And so, again, this is Film Festival Month. We just wrapped up talking with Anna, and we're going to be having Oscar Month next month to celebrate the Oscars. So I want to say thank you for hanging in today and talking pictures with me and Anna Musso. We've had a great time. We're all here for the love of movies. Remember, if you're going to do anything tonight, watch a good movie or go talk about movies or do something that involves movies. Learn about the art, push the art forward, enjoy it all. It's all for all of us. It's not mine, it's not yours, it's not ours. Have a great day and aloha.
The name Talking Pictures was created by Alexa Foreman. Web design by Josh Lang. Written and produced by Rob Sterrett and Paul Booth. Post-production by Dustin Lucas.